Hi, my name is Frankie. Thank you for listening to Two My Mom. I never listen.
My man Frankie, I spent a little time with him this weekend. He only let me have one night, and it required some bribery to get to spend the time with him. But you know what? He's great, and he inspires me, just like our guest on the podcast this week. Pepper Pursley is 9 years old. That's right, nine. I discovered her this summer during the WNBA while we were having the play in the bubble and all the Zoom calls that we were on, two or three a day. And I'd hear this little voice ask a really intelligent, high-level question. And I did some research and I found out that it was Pepper Pursley, and we became fast friends. She's nine. She lives in New York City. At 6 years of age, she started covering the New York Liberty. She would go to the games. She would interview players. And when she asks a question on the Zoom, every person lights up because it's so great to hear her voice. And it is such a great question. So I took care of putting her on CBS at halftime on an interview. And I think from that opportunity and from social media, we've actually helped elevate her platform, her podcast, her YouTube channel, and her great passion for covering this wonderful game that we all love. So I asked Pepper some questions. I didn't soften it up or dumb it down. She is smart. She's intelligent. She's articulate. She loves the game. She loves to play. She is well-rounded, and she just might be the most interesting nine-year-old you've ever listened to. Pepper, you make everyone smile with your engaging personality and your big, huge smile, and you're just so fun to be around. Thank you so much for being with us.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so I need to know in general, because I don't get to hang out with many nine-year-olds anymore. Just kind of like, how'd your day go today with school?
My day was pretty good. We started on a book project. We just finished a book. We're studying immigration. We're working on measurements and math. So we talked about miles and kilometers. And we had PE. And we had performing arts. And we talked a little bit about different types of music and the way you can use different musical instruments to make different types of music. And I just, my violin class, I'm preparing for a recital on Sunday. So yeah, overall, today was a good day.
Before we jump into sports, I love that you're so broad-based in your educational experience, Pepper. I mean, you can just snap up what you did in a day, and you have such a busy schedule. How's the violin lessons going?
Oh, they're going good. I just started the second book, in Suzuki, which is what I'm working on. So that's super big. And so I just passed the first book and I'm super excited, but me and my teacher, we went through everything that we need to go over for the recital. That's on Sunday, because our classes are every Tuesday. So this is my closest class to the recital and I'm super excited.
What is the recital about on Sunday? Are you playing a whole concert or are you just playing
I'm playing a piece with, I'm playing Gavotte from the first Suzuki book, and I'm playing it with a piano recording that my teacher made. It's a solo, it's a violin solo, not that much, it's just all of my teacher's students. We all get to perform a piece that we've been working on, the most recent one and the best one for us. So, yeah, we do it. There's winter and spring recitals. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm so excited for you. When I was a little girl, I played the trumpet, and I played the trumpet for 6 years. And so I was in the elementary school band, and then, you know, we had concerts and things like that. And then when I got to high school, when it was time to decide sports or marching band, it was a pretty easy decision for me. Hopefully you won't have to do that. You can keep your musical career going, because music and sports actually go together. There's a rhythm to the way we do things in sports, right? I mean, yeah. How do you see that? How do you see music and sports fitting?
Well, firstly, it's like you mentioned, the rhythm. Like you And also, like, you can't play a piece without having rhythm or understanding the way the notes work. And you can't win a game without having the plays down and understanding what your coach wants you to do. And so it's kind of similar in that respect. But yeah, like you said, the rhythm, and also just that it's not, like, easy to do either thing. Like, it's not easy to play the instrument. It's not easy to play a sport. Just you have to put in practice, which is that is a trait of a lot of things, a lot of activities, but specifically for music and sports, those things are very important.
I love the way you think, Pepper. I love the way you have energy to everything that you do. So we're speaking about rhythm. How's the rhythm of your jump shot? How's your jumper?
It's pretty good. I don't know, but it's just, I don't know how to say it. Can I show it to you?
Yeah, show me how your jumper is.
Let's see, I have a basketball over here. All right. I have like 12-foot ceilings, but.
That looks pretty good.
Thank you.
Follow through. The ball's on the right side of your body.
Yeah.
You bend. You know, I look at the shot as the lower part. You bend your body. You know, coil, uncoil is what I teach when I'm in the gym. You coil and then you uncoil. And you're doing that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have become my friend through the summer. Like, we met recently and we became fast friends. And one of the things that I really enjoy about you is you make me feel energetic and you give me purpose with what I do, because I want to be a role model for somebody like you. And I think you're watching what people like me and some others that do my job are doing, because that's something that you would like to do one day. Is that right?
Yeah. I have this super kind of specific dream to play in the WNBA and then to cover the WNBA after I retire and after a successful career. So, yeah, that is my dream.
You have started since you were 6 years old covering WNBA teams. How did that come about? What was your passion for? What did you want to learn? Why did you decide that that was something you wanted to do?
Well, the first actual interview I did was based off of my pure curiosity, because at that point my dream was to be in the WNBA, and I just loved basketball and I wanted to learn more about what they do in an everyday, what they do day to day. And so that interview was of Sugar Rogers, and it was just such an amazing experience. But I feel like the first time I really covered the WNBA was when I was 7, and I wanted to bring more attention to the league, because I knew that there needed to be more viewers on the league because they're incredible basketball players. And so I did a series of interviews that are on my YouTube, and I just was able to learn from them as well, just like my original goal for my first interview, to learn more. But also I hope that I brought maybe even a few more eyes to the WNBA.
Oh, I'm sure you did. And you've also brought some eyes on yourself because of the way you cover the league. You're such a great little professional. I've been on Zoom calls where you ask great questions, and they're questions that involve research, and you have, you know, delved into different topics in the league. So I want to ask you let's continue with this theme about media for a second, because I know that that's something that you said that you're interested in. As a 9-year-old, how do you cover the WNBA?
Wow, that's interesting phrasing. I've never actually been asked a question like that before. Let's see. Well, how do I cover the WNBA? Well, I hope that people can see that I cover it with joy. It's not something that I feel burdened to do, something that I really enjoy, being in press conferences, asking questions, something that I'm passionate about, something that I really care about. I care about the WNBA, and I care about what they're doing, and I care about that their voices are being heard. And that's part of the reason why the WNBA was one of the first things that I knew I wanted to cover. Once I started realizing that I could actually pursue this as an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 6-year-old, right? So I think that I try to cover the WNBA with joy and passion, and also with knowledge, because sometimes as a 9-year-old, people think that I'm going to come in and ask fun questions, like what's your favorite color, or like simple questions and things like that. And I, like you said, I try to put research into my questions, and I try to be aware of what's going on in the league. So my questions are not only good questions and questions that make sense, but also questions that will get an answer that will prove to my viewers and to the people that might see it that the WNBA is something that you need to be aware about and something that people should care about.
Now, we worked together following the WNBA season to try to find some college programs you could either follow or some conferences that you could get involved with. How's that going?
It's going okay. So far, I'm really just focusing on Stanford and Notre Dame. So got an ACC school in there. This actually hasn't come out yet, but I recently had an interview with Caitlin Clark. So that's coming out on She Got Next. So stay tuned. It's going pretty good. I've reached out to a lot of teams. I haven't heard back from all of them, but I need to send out my second emails for some of those just to make sure that they saw it. But covering Stanford and Notre Dame has been so much fun and so amazing, and I feel very fortunate to be covering some of the best teams in women's college basketball this season.
Well, we don't usually get to break news on Nothing But Net, so breaking that news about your interview with Caitlin Clark, we'll look forward to it. We've already interviewed Caitlin Clark, and she is a terrific interview, so I'm glad you and I see, you know, like-minded people here. We think the same about what we like in our players, good shooters and offensive-minded, and if you have any trouble with any college or university that doesn't give you access, you let me know. I'll take care of it for you, okay? They understand who Pepper Pursley is, and we've got to have your voice covering our game. And speaking of that, let's take a look at free agency. You know, the WNBA's got a lot going on, and I know you're paying attention. So what were some of the more shocking pieces of news or the pieces of news with free agency that you're most excited about?
Well, firstly, Alicia Clark going to the Mystics was something that I did not expect at all. I think that watching her play on the Storm with the team that they had was amazing, and her chemistry and her connection to that community was incredible. But I'm really excited to see her start over, and not start over, but continue her journey with the Mystics. And they've got a heck of a lineup on the Mystics right now, adding another amazing player, an amazing defender to the roster. So I'm super excited to watch that team out there. Also just the LA Sparks, their big three splitting up. Candace going to the Sky and Chelsea going to the Aces. And I think that those are really interesting choices. That Candace is going for a pay drop, which I thought was surprising. I thought that if she went anywhere, she would want to get more money. But, you know, so I think that the Sparks departure, that was interesting. And then also Benaiah Delaney to the Liberty. I think that's big for them, but they also are still in need of a big. Maybe they can get that out of the first pick in the draft. Maybe they'll trade that first pick for a veteran. I don't know. Maybe possibly they'll get Natasha Howard. I don't know. But I think Benaiah Delaney was really interesting for that team. There's so much more to go in free agency, and I'm so excited to the rest of it. And I really look forward to the 2021 season.
I think you should add general manager to your list of things that you might like to be, because I know you would be very good in the transaction war room trying to decide where pieces went, who fit where, and all that. Let me ask you about Candace Parker, because I've known Candace for a long time. I've watched her for a long time since her college days when she started at Tennessee. As a matter of fact, Candace Parker's very first college game, I did not cover it on television, but I went to it because I wanted to be able to one day say, I saw Candace on her very first college basketball game against Stetson at Tennessee. So when you look at her,
I remember you telling me stories about Candace and Pat in my interview with you on Dish with Pepper.
That's right. So I want to ask you, since we know Candace so well, and Candace has such a brilliant career in broadcast media as well, what do you think Candace was thinking about going to Chicago and taking less money to be a part of that team?
Well, firstly, it's home for her. I mean, being in LA it's pretty far from her family. And especially in COVID, I would assume that I would want to have my family at my games, but being closer to home just makes that more likely. Because fans from across the country, it would be harder to most likely due to the virus to be able to watch those games. So I think partly it might have been that for her. And also just that, you know, the Sky have such an interesting team and an amazing coach. And I think that maybe just wanting a change of pace, being with the Sparks for her whole career, maybe she just wanted to switch it up and to be with a team that's still getting to the top and definitely building their roster, but maybe she's the piece that leads them to being a championship team. And I don't know, but I think it's very interesting. And I'm excited to see her out there in a blue jersey versus a yellow and purple one.
I think if Courtney Vandersloot leads the league in assists, I think she's going to actually have a higher number with playing with Candace, don't you?
That's true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, but playing for another amazing point guard I'm definitely excited to see how their chemistry can build. Because Slooty could definitely get a lot of assists off of Candace. I could see that happening, most definitely.
Too. I can't wait to see it also. I'm looking forward to it. That'll be fun to watch. Okay, so this summer, the WNBA players used their platform collectively to provide information and educate and activate on some social justice issues. And I know that's something that you like to talk about as well. What did you learn from the WNBA players this summer, Pepper?
I learned that something that I already knew, but I learned firsthand that that women and women of color and women that are different from each other and women that want to compete against each other and beat each other can find a way to come together and make changes in our society that are really important, right? Because in the Georgia Senate election, if those both of the Democrats hadn't been elected, this would be an entirely different Senate and an entirely different presidency for Joe Biden. And I think that what they did to raise awareness for what Warnock was doing was crucial for him to win. And I think that just seeing the power of their voices as a little girl is amazing and so inspiring and so powerful. And I also learned that it's best to do something with people that have your back. Because when one of the players says something and maybe that doesn't have a positive response from social media, then the rest of the players, the rest of the WNBA, they always have that person's back. And just being united in that way, I think is very, very, like I was saying before, I always say inspiring, but I mean, it's the right word for the situation. And so I just think that, yeah, just that they do it unified every time is so empowering.
Pepper, you give the best answers, the most well thought out. You never wing anything. You always really speak from the heart, which is really so endearing. It's such a great quality that you carry forward. So I want to ask you, building off of that, about Black History Month. And this is Black History Month. And what does that mean to you? What do you think Black History Month should be about?
I think it should be about celebrating the history and the people and the Black people, of course, that are not always known to the public. Like people that do things that go unnoticed. And a lot of the times, Black people, if they do something amazing and a white person does the same amazing thing, that white person gets highlighted. And maybe a couple people will see that this Black person did that too. Maybe they even did it first, but it's not always highlighted. And I think that all the time, every day, 24/7 is the time to highlight those voices. But Black History Month really gives us a time and a place to specifically try to highlight the voices of Black women and Black men who are doing amazing things and empowering and inspiring things that often just go unnoticed.
I think your mom and dad have to be so proud of you for how well-spoken you are, how much passion you bring to everything that you do, whether it's your schoolwork or it's your violin playing or it's learning about the roles in media and empowering other young women to feel like they can do whatever they want to do. You do all those things, and you may not even realize that you're doing all those things. But as a 9-year-old, it's amazing to talk to you because you're so mature.
Thank you.
So the last thing I want to ask you, Pepper, is because you and I could talk all day. I enjoy speaking to you. You're really fun to ask a lot of questions to. And we don't ask those silly questions. We dive right into it, right? I don't really care what your favorite color is. But here's something I do care about. I want to know from you, so far, of all the things that you've done, including the Women's Sports Foundation this year and your introduction at their annual event, what is one of the most favorite things that you have been able to do so far in your role in the media?
I think that firstly, this answer might be changed after tomorrow. Because tomorrow's National Girls and Women in Sports Day, and I don't know if you know, but the Women's Sports Foundation, again, gave me the opportunity to do something for them, and specifically to co-host their first Girls Fest with Phaedra Knight and LaChina Robinson. So you can find that on their YouTube channel, live from 4 to 5:30. So that my answer might change after that happens. But right now, I would say that... just overall, I'll give a specific moment in a second. Just seeing the smiles on people's faces when they hear my voice was all I really ever wanted at the beginning of the summer, because quarantine really was not great. It kind of sucked, and everybody was just, like, stuffed inside, and we had to wear masks, and it was just changing everything. And I love being in school, seeing my friends, seeing my teachers, and I thought I would never miss actually having a place to put all my stuff on my desk, but I miss that now. And, like, so COVID and the pandemic changed a lot for me, and I know it changed a lot for other people. So this summer, what I wanted to do was bring a smile to people's faces, and seeing that how kind of my reasoning elevated that was still coming back to that. I was still bringing a smile to people's faces, even if I was not talking about fun things or trying to bring a smile to people's faces anymore, that I was still having that impact. And I would have to say that, let's see, can I give you top three things?
Sure, you can give me three, that's fine.
Yep. So these are things that I've done. I mean, I'm always honored to be interviewed, like in this moment, and to be written about by other people. And so I could have a long list of those things as well. But I'm gonna do a top three of things that I've done. So, like you mentioned, the annual salute for Women's Sports Foundation. I think that was amazing for me, and I just learned so much from watching that and from being a part of that, and that really raised my platform. So again, I'm grateful to the Women's Sports Foundation for giving me these opportunities. Then I have to say, interviewing Breonna Stewart was also on Instagram Live was also really amazing for me, because just learning so much from such an amazing player and building that connection with her was amazing as well. And I think that three, I would say this, I really enjoy all of the things that I do and the interview that I did of you, Debbie, and all the things that I've done. So I'm not trying to make anybody feel left out or anything like that, but just the things that I've learned from the most and the connections that I've built through the most. I would say my third one would be my interview with Natasha Cloud, because I'd already had an amazing connection with her, but just hearing her speak live about the social activism, like, I could never speak like that, not at my age. And what she's doing for the DC community and for the country is amazing. And so I feel lucky to have had to have been a part of that and to have interviewed her. And so I would say those are my top three thus far. But again, that might change tomorrow. And I'm super excited for tomorrow as well.
Pepper, I don't think you'll ever have never, can't, won't, doesn't, in your conversations with anyone, because I think you can do whatever you want, and you have set yourself up to be able to be whoever you want, and your parents have done such a great job of raising you to be free to speak and free to do what you want. You're such a lucky little girl, and I'm so glad that you took the time to want to be on this podcast with me. I got to interview you for CBS before, but this is great to have you on the podcast as well.
Yeah, I was super excited. I saw, Debbie sent me an email. Oh my gosh, this might be for her podcast. Like, so I was super excited. I'm super honored to be a part of this.
Well, thank you so much, Pepper, for being with us. And anytime you want to come back, you're always welcome.
Thank you so much.